Hello and welcome back to Long Story Short. We are
Jade,
Stevie,
and I'm Elle.
Three childhood best friends who will be discussing everything life has to throw at us and all the lessons in between. You're guaranteed completely honest, unfiltered opinions and a few laughs along the way. Oh, and just a warning, no story will ever be short. If you enjoy this episode, you can click follow and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hiya!
Hello!
We're back in person!
We're in person.
Yay. Feels like it's been a really long
time. It has been a really long time.
It's been a few weeks and, you know, as usual, we got here at 6 and it's
what
now
is the time? Oh my
4
gosh.
Past 9
yeah.
And we've just started the podcast because obviously we've just spent 3 hours chatting and getting cooked pasta by Tom, so yeah. Can't complain, very nice.
Yeah, boy did good, even though he was violently hungover all day, but he perked up for you girls, which is nice. Yeah. I've had the no personality all day, but he comes alive when you come around, but that's all right.
Fair enough. How are you both?
Do you know what? This has been the longest week ever, and I'm so glad that it's over. It's a Friday night, by the way, we're recording this, so that's why I'm saying the week's over.
It doesn't feel like a Friday. Also, Jade brought some beers round today, and Stevie's face, like, lit up when she was offered one. Jade was like, do you want one? And Stevie was like...
Her words exactly were, I don't think it's going to touch the side.
Oh, yeah.
But yes.
Honestly, I've had to pace myself as well because I could have downed those. And Tom served dinner at the perfect timing. Because you know when you're like, I've not really eaten very much today and I feel quite lightheaded.
Well, we have got a wonderful episode for you in preparation of International Women's Day, which is on Friday this week, so a couple of days away. We have got a lovely International Women's Day dilemma and conversation for you. But before we get there, Stevie's word of the week.
Very nice.
Oh, it's nice to do that in person.
So nice
again.
To do it back.
Keep editing the clip in. Yeah. Now I'm like, it's not the same.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Obdurate.
Sounds like something you do every month.
Obdurate. Oh, I was thinking like operational. It feels like an, I don't know, like an, we're going to operate on the obdurate. I don't know. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Obdurate. Obstruction. Objective. Obdurate. I think it is a specific, like, or like a purposeful action that you do to make something work.
Oh, okay.
If that makes any sense at all. Something specific that you do to fix something or make it work again. You obdurate. Oh, God, the fucking... the washing machine's broken. Right. Let me see what I can do to obdurate that.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
There you go.
Very practical answer this week. I was thinking, like, obdurate.
Come on, give us some...
Can we have a spelling, actually? Yes. You missed out on that last week, Jay.
Very yes. Good point.
This might actually change your mind.
May
so
well
this
indeed.
One... Absolutely no surprises here. Obdurate.
Oh.
That's not what you were thinking, was it?
No.
Had a J in there.
O-B-J-E. Girls, I've not, I swear to
it's
God.
It's my pronunciation.
I've been doing an Arts Council application this week, right? And working with my friend Olivia, I think I've definitely come to a conclusion. I either have a diagnosis of ADHD or dyslexia because I've got absolutely no way. Like, I thought I was quite well versed when it comes to writing things. I thought I write a good.
You do.
Went out the window. I don't know whether it's the application form that's throwing me off.
Sorry, I've just remembered a few of your best typos. What was the one instead of 30? It was like thirsty, like three thirsty girls.
I do.
There's a few
oh
that
my
are brilliant.
God, yeah.
I can't remember.
There's something
that.
With my spelling, my sentence structure, like. And I know that I do it when I talk. I know that I like blah. I do. I know that I do. I just can't help it. I'm not sure whether I get so excited that
I was going to say, do you think it's because you write quick? Because every story that I do, Instagram story, my mum's like, you've made a typo. And I do, it's because I'm just typing quick and not really thinking.
Yeah.
And then when I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, I've got loads of things. Maybe it's like a... Maybe. So creative. The juices are flowing.
That's what I like, Hel. You've put it into the exact... I'm so creative, I make no sense.
Only you can understand you.
And that's the only person that matters, right? Exactly. No one else understands me. Exactly. It's fine. So anyway, sorry, back to you, Elle. What do you think?
Obdurate. I'm going to go for the duration of something. Obdurate. What would an ob... Like a obstetrics is like pregnancy. I'm trying to think of ob. Like what would ob mean?
Obstetrician.
When you have your obs done, observations. I think it is studying the length of something happening.
Mm. Oh, okay. Both wrong. Shocker.
Shock.
So it is stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or course of action.
Oh.
It's literally my middle name.
Ellie was obdurate.
I was obdurate.
Oh.
I think we're both all a little bit like that at times.
I might put that in my Instagram bio.
Yeah. I remember Mr. Toothill, year five, he called my mum in at the beginning of the year and was like, you know, she's very good in an argument of like getting a point across. But she doesn't listen to the other side of the story. She always thinks she's right. At the end of the year, he was like, she listens to both sides of the story. She still thinks she's right, but now she listens to the other side. And my mum was like, well done!
Progress! Mr. Toothill.
Mr. Toothill.
He told us that he had a football stadium or some sort of stadium in his garden, and I think he was joking and I believed him.
Well, he must have been.
He did live in a nice area though.
I know exactly where he lived because when I went to secondary school, a friend of mine that was in my form class, Daisy, Daisy? Yeah. Daisy lived in the same estate as him. So you know where the ITV studios are?
Yes. That's exactly where I thought he lived.
So yeah. He lived there, but he lived just off. It looked like a Guinness Trust building, but it was a very big, what's the word? It was a very big, edificio. I'm doing it in Spanish. What does it mean? A very big, just like, secluded, like...
Oh, like a complex.
Complex, yeah. There you go. Big, beautiful gardens, lovely flats that were, like, high ceilings. Like if you've ever seen a Guinness Trust building, you'll know what I mean. Beautiful. And who do we bump into? Lo and behold, Mr. Toothill. When I was in year eight going, I was like, sir, what? It looked exactly the same. I remember he wrote on the bottom of everyone's report, the world is their oyster. Everyone got it at the end of the world is Jade's oyster. The world is Stevie's oyster. The world is Ellie's oyster. Like, everyone got it. He was really sweet.
He was well, a sweet man.
He meant well. We absolutely run a mockery in that class.
Oh, 100%.
I think he kind of loved it, though. He was one of those three, like...
This, like, bit hippie free-living, hug-a-tree man came into a southeast London school with feral kids.
And wanted us to express ourselves.
Yeah, that absolutely ran wild.
Oh, sorry, can you repeat again? I'm sorry, what's it called?
Obdurate.
Obdurate. And one more time?
It means to stubbornly refusing to change one's opinions or course of action.
Love nice. That. We all do
that.
Yeah. We'll fight tooth and nail. We'll fight tooth, we'll be told this is a fact and we'll go, it's not.
It's not.
It's not, and I'll tell you why.
That might be your fact.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
I refuse to accept it.
I would like proof, and I still will disagree.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Stevie. Ladies, I feel so blessed to have had so many amazing women in my life. Bringing me up was a hard-working mum, a wonderful nan, and two amazing sisters. My dilemma, however, is about my mother-in-law. Me and my partner have been together for 2 years, and his mum, for the most part, has always been really welcoming. However, we were recently at a baby shower for his cousin, and whilst mingling with his side of the family, I noticed how male-heavy they are. To be clear, it wasn't the conventional shower. The whole family were invited, so not just the women. But even the few women that were there were quite dominant, and I felt a little bit on edge watching my words as we spoke. By the end, his mum got quite tipsy and made several weird comments about me. And in front of me, saying, she's coming round to the ways of our family, and they are always opinionated at first, but soon enough learn to fit in with us. I've never seen this side to her, and I'm now concerned that this is the real her. Does she think that I'm not good enough? And has my assertiveness made her dislike me? I'm not sure if I should confront her, as I feel that we would argue and make an awkward situation out of our relationship going forward. What should I do?
Punch in the face. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
So to be clear, you've gone to a baby shower. You're from a female-heavy upbringing. Looks like they're quite a male-heavy upbringing. Few dominant characters. You've been quite assertive, or like just like, you know, spoke your mind. And now she's got a bit tipsy. Your mother-in-law has got a bit tipsy and had a conversation in front of you, kind of saying like, you know, you'll learn how to like behave in front of her family. What was the words?
It's interesting because the women that were there were dominant, so yeah. They haven't fallen
and it's
in
male heavy.
Yeah,
but the women are still ruling the roost, and now you're trying to mould her.
That's really. Oh, does she confront her though?
So the idea is the mother-in-law is trying to make you conform to her family and her ways, but she hasn't been specific in the sense of said like, oh, that's not how I would do things, or like you, no, in the sense of like, what is she trying to say, that you'll come round like,
you know what I don't like? They're always opinionated at first, but soon enough learn to fit in. It's like, so you're just hoping, or she is just hoping that everything that you are, all those opinions that you have, once, like, at some point, they're just gonna, like, melt down.
Yeah.
And you're just gonna quieten yourself to fit in with the family.
Sounds like a cult.
It does! It does, it's so weird.
Do you remember that, it was on Netflix, I think it was called, like, Keep Faith and Pray or something.
Oh,
this is what he's giving me, like cult vibes.
This is so odd.
Really, really, really odd.
Really, but I'm also interested to know, I know she said it in front of her, but who's she talking to? And I wonder what the opinion was of the people that she's talking to. Because it seems like there was a bigger conversation where she's almost like reassuring people that you're gonna like stop being so opinionated. So how weird.
Do you know what as well? This just feeds into that narrative that you have to get on with your in-laws. And don't get me wrong, I'm gonna be, I don't know if this is controversial or not, but it's just my opinion. Life is easier if you get on with your partner's family. And in an ideal world, we would all get on like a house on fire with our in-laws, but actually you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be liked by them. You don't have to get on with them. I think you have to tolerate them to a certain extent, but if there's a family event, like obviously I would always want my partner to be with me, but if he really didn't want to be there, I'd rather he wasn't there. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And I mean, this is very, very odd. Especially for you to have been in the family for, I think you said, 2 years?
A couple of years, yeah.
And this is the first time you're seeing this with your mother-in-law. Could you possibly have misunderstood her?
I guess, well, she said that she's never seen that side to her before, and she's concerned that this is actually the real her. And I suppose, like, so her mother-in-law is now comfortable because, actually, you're in her territory. You're
she's
with
had a couple
her
of
family.
Drinks.
Mm-hmm. You've had a couple, she's had a couple of drinks. You're in her territory now. Like, so is she potentially, like, saying, well, this is me and my family? Like, it feels very dominant, but she's saying that the women there were quite dominant, as well as the men be, you know, like, not that the men would, she didn't say anything about the men being dominant, but it was very male heavy, but the women were very dominant. And you do see that in some families, you know, like, I know in my family, there are, like, I was brought up by, mainly, my poor dad, like, is the only man in the family.
Oh, yeah.
Only man in the house. Yeah. So, yeah, so he always kind of had, like, in the nicest way, like, my dad was always, you know, the man of the house, but like the women ran the roost, rule the roost, sorry. So I got brought up by a lot of, like, by all women. And our family, like the Baker side, my mum's side, is very female heavy. And sometimes the men kind of, there's a few, if I'm thinking about it now, like there's a few family members that they literally do. They melt into the background, but they, and do you know what? I've never actually asked them, do you enjoy actually melting into the background? Because quite frankly, they don't ever get asked. It's we are quite dominating female in my family, and everyone, there's a few people that are quite opinionated, sometimes to their own detriment, especially after a few bevies, but what happens if your mother-in-law, like, what is it to come into a family like that? Like, what happens if you're...
But she said specifically, does she think I'm not good enough? Yeah. And my question back would be, do you care?
Yeah.
Do you care?
Yeah.
You're a strong, independent woman. You're not saying anything to be controversial. You're giving your opinion. Now, if you walk into a family event and you're like, you're wrong, I disagree with you. Why are you doing that? Then I think that's confrontational.
Mm.
That's not strong. That's just a bit argumentative. But if you're at this event contributing openly in a friendly way, you can have a difference of opinion with people. Yeah.
But like, then why is his mum saying that? Like, who is she saying that to? Like, who are the people that she's... are you in a group that you're listening to her talk about? Like, you know, like, if you... 2 years, I suppose, long enough, but, like, how often do they have family parties? Like, is she speaking about you to people that are asking, like, if you've got... if you've got big families, you know, like something in the background, you'll be like, oh, so that's blah blah blah's going, oh, how do you get on, la 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 la.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it, this listener has overheard the mother-in-law saying, oh yeah, no, she's lovely, she'll come around
to, and what that...
You know, I'm interested in as well, and we don't know the answer to this, whether the mother-in-law has got daughters, because I do think, obviously she's got a son, I do think, and it's a male heavy family, that unless you've got a daughter, you don't treat women in the same way.
Mm.
I do. And you've been brought up, I really heavily know this to be true.
Yeah.
Well, I say this, like, I've sort of seen this and I believe this wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You've been brought up by, in your own words, you feel so blessed. You've been brought up by an amazing, hardworking mum, wonderful nan, and two amazing sisters. You know what it's like to be a woman's woman. You know how women treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's a different dynamic. Like, say, for example, you're a mum of boys.
Yeah.
You've never brought up a young girl, like a, you know, a teenage girl, you've gone through all of those things. I do think there is a lack of understanding. And maybe, like, we don't know, maybe she has got a daughter. But I think sometimes, because for me, if I had a daughter, I would want her to grow up with opinions. And you know, like, and if I had a son and he had a and he brought a girl home, as long as the opinions weren't like nasty or forceful or whatever, I'd want there to be someone that has opinions and is strong-minded
and can contribute to a conversation.
But I wonder whether that comes from being surrounded by women.
I totally agree. I think the same thing. I think that there is a different, like you're saying, that our listener is saying that it's a male-heavy family. We don't know if there is a daughter in the mix or if he has any sisters or, you know, female cousins and stuff. I do think it changes a woman having a... I mean, I can't say that. I can only speak from my own perspective, which is it was a female-heavy house. My poor dad never got word in edgeways most day. God knows what we were like going through our periods and growing up. I'm doing... I can only imagine he... Like, I do remember my dad very, like, much being like, I will drop you to school. I will drop you where you want. I won't say a peep. Because I remember him being, like, at any moment ready to, like, be bitten. But for a woman to turn around, and maybe, I don't know, does your mother-in-law like you is the question, because I'm a little bit conscious of it, because I don't know.
Also, when she says, like, does she think I'm not good enough, based on that comment alone, I don't think that's what she's getting at.
No.
Like, in fact, I think some women are intimidated by younger women that come in and have got opinions. If anything, she might think the opposite. And she's a bit intimidated by the fact that you've got opinions, and then she's trying to squash you down because of it.
Yeah.
So I would say, based off of that alone, I wouldn't say that it's not that you're not good enough. When you say, has my assertiveness made her dislike me? If it has, that's a reflection of her. It's not of you.
It's funny you say.
I wouldn't care.
And also, Elle, it's funny you say about being intimidated. I think there is something with mothers and sons where some, like, I think mothers have a certain amount of, control is the wrong word, I think influence is probably better.
Yes.
And
then
when another female comes in and the son is perhaps being influenced in a different way, that can sometimes be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's what's going on here.
And some women don't know how to take that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not a competition, you know, but some people see it as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that...
Right, girls,
okay, so what does she do?
I wonder whether actually you spin this on its head and you, instead of having a conversation, you go out on a you and her girls date only, and you maybe book a lunch or book a theatre trip or book something to do together and find an opportunity to bond with her, so that maybe if she does feel like you're a bit of a threat, or failing that, you get to know each other a little bit better, because I think this has left you with a few open questions. And I think unless you spend more time with her and maybe like get to know her a little bit better, will you ever know what the true intention of that is? I don't know. Like, I'm wondering whether you go around it differently as opposed to being like, I don't know. There's no other option. You either confront and just say, oh, I did hear you say that and I wondered what you meant. That's really confrontational. That's not going to come across, I don't think, very well. I wonder whether you jump in and go, right, I'm going to get to know this woman a little bit better, because it might help me to understand those comments a little bit better, and maybe go out, have a little theatre date with her, get to know her a little bit if you haven't already, and maybe, I don't know, I'm just trying to think outside the box. It's not going to be you coming in head first and be like, right, what's going on, what were these comments, you made me feel uncomfortable. Take her out, get to know her.
I thought you meant take her out.
Take her out, get to know her a little bit, maybe get to know about her dynamic, her growing up. I don't know, maybe this is a defense for her. Maybe she feels that she's got to defend, like, I don't know. It's a bit vague for me to give too much of a comment on, like, what it is that she was trying to get to the bottom of. But what if you were to take her out, get to know her a little bit more, on a deeper level, and let her get to know you a little bit better, for you to be like, oh, this was my dynamic growing up, and this is what I think about this, and this, what do you think about that? Just so that maybe you can exchange opinions on a few things. Maybe you'll get a bit more of a leveled understanding as to her, who she is, how she thinks. Is it a generational thing? Does she think that, you know, the modern, I don't know.
I do think as well, if you don't know her that well, I would assume that you know her well enough because you've been with him for 2 years, but you might live far away, whatever, you might only see her at family events. But also, I would say, sometimes you can interpret things differently. So she could have meant something completely different. Like, she could have used those words, but she didn't mean it in that way, and it's just that you don't know her that well.
Yeah.
I also think, like, not to play devil's advocate, but just say, for example, someone had made a comment about you that wasn't so nice. In a weird, twisted way, she might have been trying to stick up for you in this. If someone had said, oh, God, she's really opinionated, and she just said, oh, they're always opinionated at first, but soon enough they learn to fit in.
Yeah.
It might have been a way of her, I mean, just it's wrong, using, regardless. Yeah. Like, you should be allowed to say what you're going to say. You know, if I was you, I'd do nothing.
Yeah, I would as well.
Because you said you've never seen this side to her before. So wait until you see it again. If you see it again, it might have been a one-off comment. I mean, if it's really playing on your mind and really bugging you, then, I don't know, if it was me and I had to say something, I'd maybe, in a conversation, say, oh, you know, I overheard some conversations the other day when we was at this party. Oh, God, people don't think I'm a binionet. You know, make a joke out of it. I don't know. But actually, I wouldn't do that. I would literally do nothing until it happens again.
Yeah.
See how she is with you. If she goes back to a normal self, the side that you've always liked, I'm assuming, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. The benefit is as well, now this has happened once, you'll be on your guard for it. She's not going to surprise you with this. And I know that's horrible because you don't want to be going to family events thinking, oh God, what's his mum going to say? But you'll be prepared for it now. You won't be as shocked. And you can then say to her, if she does this again, oh, what do you mean by that? And just put it back on her. But it will be in the moment. People will be there to witness it. Like, it doesn't need to be a big deal. You'll be prepared for it. But, Elle, I'd do exactly the same as you. I wouldn't do anything at this moment in time.
Also, talk to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
I would tell him. I'd say, I heard this thing. Like, there's no, nothing's been said about me, is there? And he'll likely say, no, she's never mentioned anything.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Forget it.
Otherwise you're going to start beef and there's no need.
Especially over something that's so vague. Like, I couldn't say whether she disliked you or not. I couldn't say. I mean, the comment is weird and I, you know, it would sit uncomfortably with me, but there's, you don't know the context of it.
Yeah. Like, she, someone could have said, like, I'm just, I'm absolutely making this up now. Say somebody said, God, your family's wild. How does she deal with you all? And she's responded by saying, oh, she's coming round to the ways of our family.
Like, you don't.
Because if someone said, like, oh, you know, how does Tom get on with your lot? I'd be like, oh, he's well used to us by now. Like, he just knows how to, you know, that would be how I would think. Oh, he just blends in now or he does whatever. That could have been, not that, I mean, very unlike us to give the mother-in-law the benefit of the doubt. But I also think for your own peace of mind, don't let it play on your mind. It doesn't feel significant enough. Not that I'm doing down what's been said, but let it go.
Yeah.
And you're right, Steve, like, next time she says it, you'll be fucking ready. Maybe that's what you could do. Have in mind what you might say if she says something of a similar ilk again. And then you can bring it up straight away.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, God. Girls, I'm meeting a mother-in-law for the first time.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's the vibe? What are you doing?
We're literally going for lunch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very chill, very cash. So, yeah.
Just you, new boyfriend, and mother-in-law?
The mother-in-law, yeah. Oh. I mean, it's a bit presumptuous to say the mother-in-law, but at least you all know who I'm talking about.
We know.
Yeah, so it's an early Mother's Day treat for,
Very cute.
So I'll have to let you know how it goes.
Oh, I'm excited.
See if I've been, if I survive, if she likes me.
If she thinks you're too opinionated and you're just going to have to blend in with a family.
Do you know what as well? Like, don't get me wrong, everybody wants to be liked, but I do think I've reached a new age where I'm like, oh, like, it, what you see is what you get. I don't mean to offend. Yeah. I'll apologise if I do. But
no, I'm exactly the same, because it's like, she'll like you anyway because you're like, there's nothing unlikable about you. You know what I mean? Like, we're all pretty inoffensive most of the time. Like, she's going to love you, Steve.
She's going to love you.
Let you know if I survive.
Oh, let me know if she survives. She's in for a rad treat.
I'm just picturing the J-Lo film Monster in Law.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I saw it years ago. Yeah, it is good.
They get married. It's what? Yeah, it's pretty wild. I read a thing today on, I can't remember whether it's on Lad Bible or whatever, but it was about a woman in her wedding dress covered in red paint.
Shut up.
Her mother-in-law and father-in-law had done everything to sabotage the wedding, including paying people to cover her in red paint. They got somebody to, like, they tried to bribe the travel company where they booked the honeymoon with. They tried to bribe the travel company to, like, ruin the holiday by putting them on detours. I don't know what, I mean, it was all a bit, like,
you need a restraining order.
Yeah. How can you detest someone so much? But also, like, I saw it all on Instagram, so it could be a load of bullshit, but, and it could be a publicity stunt, but I was like, that is a fucking extreme. Imagine ringing up being like, we're the parents of blah, 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 blah. We want to sabotage this honeymoon. Yeah.
God, can you just cancel everything?
Oh, God.
It'd be relatively easy to do, though. Not that I'm a psychopath, but it would be relatively easy to do.
Yeah.
You know dates of births. You know names. You know dates.
But what you can do, the worst thing you can do is cancel the hotel.
Yeah, cancel the flights.
What else can you do?
God. Well, I went to a wedding last year and the mother-in-law wore white.
Oh. Yeah. Statement.
Yes. Yeah. It was amusing.
Oh, I can imagine someone with two fingers up going, fuck yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have the most amount of balls to do that.
I mean, it's that, or she's just got a very thick skin and is not very aware.
That's why you have bridesmaids to rugby tackle. Yeah. You do.
There were multiple conversations about red wine, but it never quite materialised.
But also, girls, it's such a shame, like, women bringing down women. On International Women's Day, we should be thinking about uplifting each other. There are enough people in the patriarchy that want to bring us down. So on International Women's Day, girls, I want you to tell me, who are the women that inspire you? They can be family, they can be friends, they can be celebrities, whatever.
Ooh. Tell me. Very good question.
Because, I mean, especially as young girls growing up, like, were there people that you looked up to when you were younger as women and thought, like, oh, that really inspires me? Do you know what I've been doing recently? I've been reading a new book. It's called, I think I told you about it before, Jordana Levitt. She's got Make It Happen, which was a self-help book that I've read before. And I've read it twice over now. And now I've got her most recent book, which is Make You Happen. And I'm really enjoying it. The chapter that I'm on at the moment is like one of the first chapters. And I've been thinking about it, so it's really weird that it's coincided with it. But like fashion, for instance, and why we wear certain clothes and what our clothes say about us. And I've been feeling really like, ugh, about my wardrobe at the moment. And then I'm like, I need to start dressing like me, because I don't feel like I'm dressing like me. And I want to clear out my wardrobe, and I want to like... And then anyway, so in the book, it asks you to just journal about like your fashion story, and it made me reflect. And as a kid, I used to be down my caravan, and I used to wear whatever I wanted. I would put high heel shoes on, usually my mum's, with like a Esmeralda crop top or I mixed up my fashion, and it was all about whatever Jade the Princess wanted to wear, and she wore it. And then I got a little bit older and I was like a tomboy. And I remember my sister being like, you're not coming out of me like that. You need to dress more girly. So then I remember like getting to an age and starting to dress more girly, whatever that meant to me. So I got out of all of the like gym gear and into girly gear. And then I started wearing like tight stuff and stuff that was fashionably trendy. And then I remember like becoming part of like... pursuing acting as a career and being like, I can't wear Ralph Lauren because actors are supposed to be broke, so I have to look poor. Like, that sounds so stupid.
Oh, wow.
So I think, like, I've just, honestly, I've been reflecting on, like, my fashion journey. And it's gone in a roundabout way, but then I've just started, like, I'm like, what reflects me and what styles do I like and what, you know, like, and then who do I look at for fashion? And it's just made me, like, reflect on, like, growing up, the pressures that are put on us and the way that it morphs our expression of ourselves, I guess, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's no secret. Like, I was so insecure about the size of my boobs that I had my boobs done. And if only that Jade had had a little bit more confidence boosted in her, or like, love for herself, would I've ever gone through that journey of doing that?
But equally, all the people you looked up to or all the people you saw probably had enhanced boobs because I looked a certain way.
And I'm looking at all of the influences that were on, that were given to me at the time, you know, all of the magazines and the, like, even down to like the groups that we used to look at in school, primary school, like Steps and S Club 7 and all of those, like the Atomic Kitten and Take Out magazine or whatever it was called, Smash Hit magazine, whatever. And then MTV getting a little bit older and, you know, all of these influences that I would love to have said, oh, you know, no, I'm too what's the word, confident in myself to worry about that. No, like subliminally, all of that must have had a massive impact because it made me feel a certain way and I followed trends to the point of being uncomfortable in the clothes that I was wearing, but still wearing them anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've gone on a right derail. I asked you who inspired you.
I really enjoyed the fashion thing, because I was thinking about myself, because like, obviously I grew up playing football, I was such a tomboy. And then I remember getting to 16, 17 and thinking, well, none of my football mates wear makeup, but I'm really into makeup. And then I discovered blogs, and I would spend hours reading about like one MAC eyeshadow. And if I thought that it would suit me, I would like read like 100 reviews, because I knew it was so expensive at like 16, 17, couldn't really afford it. But before I was going to spend 12 quid on an eyeshadow, I would pour through these blogs, which is why I ended up doing that myself. But now I'm exactly the same. I went for a point where I wore, I suppose, what was on trend, not particularly comfortable. And now my style is very oversized, relaxed. I haven't worn a pair of skinny jeans in a million years, because all of my jeans are like boyfriend jeans. I wear trainers all the time. I just, my style is so much more me now than when I was trying to look up to whoever it was at the time. And I don't know, like, it would have been loads of different people. But when you was talking, I was thinking, who was the people to go from like living in tracksuits, wearing Millwall football kits all the time? Who was the first person that I saw where I loved their style and it was like, oh my God, I love that? And it was Lauren Conrad from The Hills.
Love Lauren.
Everything about her, like the check shirts, the skinny jeans at the time, the heels, the way she did her hair, I was obsessed. Like, her, everything about her style. And then I would like apply it to myself, and it didn't really suit me, but it was like, you do, you just copy the people that you look up to. And that was like just the first person that came into my head of like, yeah, I would, I mean, I can't say I look up to her as a person,
but
style wise definitely, because my mum's a tomboy, so I had no one. I learned makeup from like 3 layers of Dream Matte Mousse going wrong. That's how I learned what to do with my makeup. And then YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I would literally be like, I think a smoky eye would suit me. Watch YouTube videos. And then I went to the MAC counter when I was 16. And, oh God, my poor mum obviously didn't have a clue. I was like, I would like a smoky eye. This woman basically gave me panda eyes. Obviously, I bought everything that she put on my eyes. I did use them for a long time. I have like photo evidence of terrible panda eyes with no eyebrows at the time, very of the time, I tell myself. But it was, you know, you only learn from your own mistakes, don't you, and the people that you look up to. But God, style-wise, what a journey. What a journey.
I mean, I think you two probably had more of a style journey than I did. I don't know what I was doing. I genuinely, even now, I'm like, oh, I don't really. Oh, do you know what? I just don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it.
I think you dress for you. That, like, you always dress, everything you wear suits your body and suits you, rather than being like the latest trend here. You always wear what looks great on you.
So true. Yes.
Do you know what though? I just ain't really got time. Not when I say I haven't got time for it, I have to be really in the. I'm not a girl's girl when it comes to shopping. It really pains me. Like, really pains me. But yeah, in terms of other people as well, I don't know that I ever really looked up to anyone. I liked certain things from certain people. I think one of the most amazing people that I thought, oh my God, I love listening to you speak recently, is Michelle Obama. And I went to see her speak, God, about 3 years ago, and I just love everything that she stands for and her morals and her values. And I'm not really that up on American politics, so I'm sure she's done stuff that people disagree with, but to hear her speak about her family and her work ethic and where she came from to become a lawyer, I absolutely love listening to her. And then I watched Dragon's Den the other day, and there's a lady on it, an entrepreneur called Sarah, and she's really lovely. You know when you think,
oh wait, as in one of the dragons?
Yeah, one of the dragons.
Oh, my mum loves her.
Oh,
loves her.
I really hope she's as nice as what she comes across as on TV, because you don't, to me, I have this image of a millionaire, of a business owner, and she is not it.
Yeah.
And actually, she seems like a really lovely person. And I think, oh, you know what? You can reach the top and be a nice person. Yes. You don't have to be a dick. You don't have to be cutthroat. You don't have to be brutal. You can be nice. Yeah. And that's what I really like. And I think, do you know what? They're the values that people need to hold on to.
I mean, let's be fair, we've all had incredible role models. Like, we've been brought up by incredible women. Each of us have got fantastic mums and grandparents and sisters and siblings and cousins, and like we've been lucky. Yeah. Like we've been lucky. Some people, like I do know a lot of, I've got a couple of people that I know that are like, yeah, no, don't get along with my mum. We just don't see eye to eye. We just, you know, and it's, I think that's quite difficult, but.
Oh yes, you know, horrible.
Each to their own. We all have like influences and strong female characters around us, whether they be blood related or friends or, you know, or role models that you find that are in the public sector or whatever. But yeah, no, thanks. That was a really random tangent that I took us on for the fashion side of it.
I also love that because like I feel like all of us would have said like my mum, my nan, yeah. And then Jade went on such a tangent that we ended up talking about Laura Conrad. Yeah.
Which I never watched.
Oh, loved it.
Brilliant at the time. If you watched it back now, you'd be like, what is this bollocks? But it was...
Heidi, Lauren, Whitney. What was the lady?
Audrina.
Audrina. Yeah. I loved her. And Justin Bobby.
And do you know what? Like, if I... this is like taking a turn because it's a bit sad now. But I remember looking at those women and thinking... they're so beautiful. Yeah. I could never. Because, no, it's not like, I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. Yeah. But you know, like back then, 16, 17, I spent all my life playing football. I was never seen as a pretty person. No one ever said like, oh, you're a bit, you know, like, whatever. Obviously fucking made up for it because now I'm swarming in men. No, I'm joking. I am joking. But... yeah, like looking back, I'm like, isn't it so funny that now I'm like, oh my god, they were beautiful, but you know, like it means nothing to me now because personality, like inspiring people, are so much more.
Yeah,
like I'm exactly the same, Steve. If I think about people that inspire me, it would never be off of like an aesthetic thing.
Yeah,
I couldn't care less what people look like. It's how people are and how they treat you, and that's what, like, that's who the people that I would look up
it's
to.
It's so true. I've gone on this thing, so I've been working with Stephanie Brown again recently, and I said to her, listen, I've not really set any goals for 2024 in that sense of like I've not narrowed them down, so can you help me like have a session to like narrow down what I want out of the year? And that one of the biggest things was like I want to make new connections with people who inspire me or whose work I enjoy or whatever. Anyway, I set about it and I just thought, do you know what? Sometimes you just got to be a bit daring. I just thought, fuck it, I'm gonna send a couple of emails a week to people whose work I love. They just so happen at the moment to currently still be all women that I've written down. But out of the four people that I've like written down, I emailed two this week, both of them have got back to me. Both of them are BAFTA winners this year. They both got back to me straight away.
How lovely.
And have like set up meetings for March. And I think it's kind of set the pace for me to like keep being inspired by the amazing women that are around me, but also start connecting with people that, like, I don't know. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, that you don't get a response, but you carry on being inspired by their work. Yeah. And I'm just like, just meet up with like-minded people, like-minded women that share, like, the same interests or that whose work speaks to you or it feels relevant. Yeah, that was a really random tangent. Again, girls, I'm on the random tangents today. But what I'm trying to say is if there are women that inspire you, fucking reach out to them, speak to them, or watch their videos, or see them live in person, because I don't think there's anything that builds momentum in another person than watching somebody else that they can relate to or that they feel in, like, empowered by. And that's what it is. And also handing it back down, because I'm absolutely certain there are women or... like women, like girls that meet you guys now as well, and sometimes me, like, and that would be like, how did you get where you are? I think we're getting to an age now where we can like really be passing on.
No, but... oh god, don't ask me for advice. Take a couple of selfies now.
Passing on the knowledge.
But I know what you mean.
Passing on the knowledge. I think it's such a patriarchal system that we like that we keep the doors closed, don't we? Like in this sense, like we don't like. I think people get to a certain, like, let's say you get to what's the word? You come through a barrier, you get to a point, and you're like, oh, I've stepped up a level. But then all of a sudden, like, you close the door to anyone coming in because you're like, right, I've worked hard to get here. And I just think, as women, we, like, have a responsibility to make sure that anyone that reaches out, that want, like, I've definitely had it before, like, younger actors be like, oh Jade, you're doing really well at this, and da 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 da, and I'm like, oh thank you, and then I don't follow up and go like, what are you doing, how do you, what are you like, not that we've all got the time in the world to be like nurturing and mentoring everybody, but Elle, do you remember when we was in secondary school and we done that ITV mentorship. They set up together an IT mentorship with people that worked in ITV. And there was this lady that was my mentor.
Was this in the last couple of years?
It's in like year 9.
Remember
me and you went up there. Yeah, we were there.
Where did we go? Where?
We went to the ITV studios and there was a group of, I think, 6 or 7 of us. And we were paired up.
Was I definitely there?
Definitely there. We were paired up with mentors from ITV and they worked in all different sectors of the product, like the company. And they worked as mentors, but they paired us up depending on what our interests were.
Right.
But I do remember...
he had no interest. No mentor. Really?
Yeah.
On their own.
They paired us up. You was definitely there for the first meeting, but we only went for like one meeting. And then they paired us up and then it was like an email chain and like a...
I've got a terrible memory, especially from that time.
Yeah, but they set us up. But why I'm saying it is because I came across a letter the other day and it was from Kit Harrington.
No way!
Shut up, right? So this mentor... girls, I completely forgot about all this. But this mentor had basically said, oh yeah, I went to drama, like I've just reread this email that she'd sent me, but we'd spoke over email, and she'd sent me a response written to me from Kit Harrington, just being like, hi Jade, I can't remember the lady's name now, blah, 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 has told me all about this, and da, 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 da. And I would suggest you join a drama group. I've just finished doing a big series. It was Game of Thrones. I've just finished filming a big series, but I've finished drama school. And he basically like detailed to me all of it. I know I'm speaking about a man. We're supposed to be talking about International Women's Day. But she was a little like in between. Like
we like a man that bigs up women.
Yeah. She didn't know quite how to like, but she made an effort.
Wow.
And I'm not sure. I definitely don't think that they were paid to do this mentorship. But I just think mentorship is such a invaluable. I mean, I'm looking at that like at 30, going, oh fuck, really? I should have reached out to Kit now. Really?
Yeah. Remember me?
14-year-old Jay didn't quite follow up on that one, but I think. What I'm trying to say is there's so many doors that are closed, not just because of women, but just in general, that you have to like work your way to get through. And I forget about the responsibility that we should take to make sure that we open it up for somebody else. So
yeah,
I feel like I want to do that now. Not that I'm in any position to be like, oh, come in, you know.
No, but sometimes I think it's just about shared experiences and it's about giving someone else the confidence that you didn't have or for them to come to you and say, so here's where I want to be. I don't quite know how to get there, or this is the problem I've got, but I'm not quite sure how to go around it.
Yeah.
Like just being there as a sounding board to give your experiences.
Mm. Yeah. 100%. I'm the same. Like, if someone, especially if I know them or I meet people at events, obviously I haven't really been to stuff in a long time, but if someone says, like, oh, I wouldn't know how much to charge for that, oh, I love handing over knowledge. I remember, I mean, this was like 5-6 years ago, one of my friends was like, oh, I charged this for an Instagram post. So I was like, what are you doing? You could charge 4 times that amount. Oh, I had no idea, like, no brand has, like, let me do it. I was like, no, you can and you will. And then she messaged me and was like, I got my first job at that fee. And it's like, because you just don't know. Because at some point, someone would have told me what to charge. So I agree. Although, I hope you agree with me. How fucking cheeky is this, right? I'm going completely against everything we just said. But, so I did this job with Card Factory and it got boosted. Like, they put paid spend behind it and it was advertised everywhere. So obviously it reached quite a lot of people through their boosting. I get a message from a girl. Hey, I was just wondering, like, if I can have the contact and the agency that contacted you about the job, because I'd like to work with them. You know, I do my own outreach, so if you could send that, that'd be great. Doesn't even follow me. You know when you're like, excuse me? Are you actually kidding me? You've reached out to me. You didn't even like the video. You've seen a job. You thought, I want money. I'm going to go and message this girl who I've never supported in my life. I don't even follow her. I'm going to ask her for a hard-earned contact so that I can gain some money.
Wow.
She gets nothing. I haven't replied yet. And Tom was like, don't reply. And I was like, no, I've got to. I'm just going to say, like, with all the respect in the world, I only give over my hard-earned contacts to the people that actively support me and I support them back. and vice versa.
Yeah, there's someone exchange. That I could be,
because that's exactly it.
Yeah.
In that industry, people do it all the time. I mean, I've never asked a friend for a contact ever. It doesn't sit comfortably with me. I'm the idiot that would get paid less or not do the job or never get the opportunity because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I had loads of friends ask me for all the favours in the world, would happily do it because it's like, you like my stuff, you comment, yes. You support, fine, go get your money. This girl, no, I was like, I can't believe.
But people also, do. In this day and age, like, followers are everything, aren't they? So why are you not following other people? Engagement. Why are you not engaging with them?
And
you
also,
want to.
Yeah, literally from a business point of view, it's like if you found someone that's doing the jobs that you want to do, surely you would, even if you never engage, surely you'd follow as a point of seeing like, well, what are they doing next?
Yeah.
Like, tactically, that is what I don't, but
also,
like, that's what I would do.
Like, if you've got the audacity to do that, like, when I say audacity, I completely agree with where you're coming from. I almost admire how brazen it is.
Yes.
Because I think I would never feel like I could do that. I would have to be following you and then strategically a week later ask for your contact. Like, not randomly, out the blue.
Yeah.
But then that's rookie 101, isn't it? Because, you know, that's so true. I was speaking to a friend of mine. So there's this thing called the Actors Expo, and it's an exhibition?
Yep.
It's an exhibition. And it happens every year, and I've been for a few years running sort of thing before drama school and after drama school. And, you know, I speak to a few people about it and they're like, why do you go? So the first few times I went there, you didn't pay for entry, you could just walk around and it was like a market stall and there was companies there and booksellers there, script sellers, blah, blah, blah. But then you could pay to go into like conferences where you know, speak to casting directors, da, 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 da. And I went for 1 year and it was good. And I was like, oh yeah, I feel really part of this. And like, oh, I felt quite new. And then I went after drama school and I was I spent a lot of money in my eyes at going into a conference with some casting directors who I won't name, who gave very little to no advice for a lot of money for us all to be sat there. In fact, came out feeling quite negative about the industry, and I was like, well, that was a waste of money and makes me feel no better about emailing the industry and following up and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, last year I went and I literally went to get in front of a casting panel. I'd done a monologue for them, I got great feedback, and I left, and that was it, because I was like, I'm not walking around here no more. Because, and then this year I refused to go because I was like, I'm not paying, now they're charging for entry, but I was like, I'm not paying to go around this exhibition. I don't mean to down it because they do fantastic, but what I found is that I was in a building of people that were taking it extremely serious and were there to network and to make the most of it, and then just a bunch of people that were like, I really want to be an actor, yeah, so I just, but it was so wishy-washy, and I was like, this is the difference between. And I know, I pray to God that I was never one of those persons or perceived as one of those people that were, it's just so wishy-washy. They would be like, now they're emailing, like a friend of mine who had a stall that, and was like, this is the result of that. I've got people sending me emails being like, hi, I really want to be an actor. Can you tell me how I'm doing? Blah, blah, blah. Asking, can you tell me which agents I should be emailing? I'm like, it's wild. Like, and you do have to filter out. That's where the filter system comes, doesn't it, with people that are serious or not. But it's this annoying kind of, like, I don't know, like, they obviously they will never get anywhere because they're not in it for, they're in it for the fame, the fortune, and the money that they think that they're going to earn so easily. No one sees the graft, right?
Yeah.
No one sees the graft. It all seems so instantaneous nowadays, and especially with, like, you know, one-hit wonders that will be on social media or on YouTube, and then all of a sudden they are a success in whatever. Yeah, I'm sure there's loads of graft that goes in it, but for some people it is just so, like, boom, instantaneous, and it doesn't happen for everybody. But what I was trying to say is I hear you in the frustration of, oh, share your, and you're like, you know that there are people worthwhile investing time and energy into that you'd be happily to say, come along, let me teach you what I know. And then other people you go, don't you fucking dare. Don't you dare, like,
assume and
offend me.
And also, in a way, like, especially if you're looking for contacts or specific information, if you want it enough, you'll be able to find it. You don't need to ask people who you've never bothered to speak to
before. They want you to do their work for you.
Go
you
do it yourself.
Do the work for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Also, not dissing Card Factory because it's the only place I buy my cards, genuinely.
Same.
But Card Factory. At least reach out for fucking...
It was just someone that wanted a bit of money. They see it and they think, oh, an ad.
Yeah, I can do that.
Even influencers that have been around forever, even established influencers, I know if I do jobs, they will follow and message the brand instantly. They want the work, they want the money.
Madness.
But like, they don't have the passion or the care.
And then they don't get the jobs because it doesn't... And also, the brand, if they want you, they want you. Yeah. Like, they're going to find you at some point. Like, occasionally, I'm sure you might reach out and this brand's never heard of you before and they think you're perfect for us. But actually, it's see-through. It's really transparent when you do that and you've never posted about them before. You've never done any of this. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But I'm like the same with you, Jade, about like you'd be a great agent on the other side of acting. I think I could be such a great, PR and a manager.
Brilliant PR.
I mean, I would hate to do it because they work so unbelievably hard and there's so much involved. But you know, when you see so much of it, you're like, oh, I could handle that quite well.
But it's only with wisdom and age and experience that I think, and that is why I'm excited, because I feel like as much as, you know, like you want to be your own individual person and you're, you know, it's love, we've got incredible mums that we look up to, and also that we you know, we take on a little bit. I know for me, I'm turning into my mum. The older I get, I can see it. I am. I'm absolutely turning into my mum.
Now I'm happy about it, but back in the day, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, here we go. I'm even making the same sounds, and now I'm like, I'm fine with it.
It's so true, but we're all turning into our mums in that same sense. I can definitely see it in myself, and I was definitely, you know, resisting it at a point, and now I'm like, no, yep, I get it. But even still, you're carving your own path, right? Yeah. And it's only with, you know, that the wisdom that they hand down, but also the experience that we gain for ourselves. May we, independent, inspiring women, may we be them, may we know them.
May we raise them. There was, I couldn't remember what the last bit was.
May we raise them.
That. May we raise them.
Well, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget, you can send over any dilemmas that you've got to longstoryshortpodcast22@gmail.com. Head over to our TikTok, that's longstoryshortpod, to see what we've been up to. We'll be back next Tuesday. And don't forget, no story will ever be short.
Bye. Bye.